Chapter 1. He wrapped the blade of the knife in tape, covered it with a greasy rag, taped it again, and finally slathered the entire weapon with oil. Then he very carefully inserted it handle first into his rectum. He was beyond the point of thinking about how crazy that might seem. It was about survival. And at the end of the day, John A. Light always did what he had to do to survive. He figured if he was going to die, he would go out fighting. All he wanted was a chance, and the knife gave him that. He had been in Presidio Ari Franco, one of the worst hellholes in the Brazilian prison system, for about 6 months. He had learned how to get by, and even prosper. Status and money worked on the inside as well as, and sometimes better than, they did on the streets. But now he was jammed up. The corrupt warden of the prison had targeted him as a troublemaker. A. Light and some of the other prisoners had organized a boycott. They weren't buying the contraband that the warden's minions brought into the prison each day. What's more, they had put out the word that any other prisoner who did would be beaten. It was just one of the many power plays that took place every day in Ari Franco, but this one was costing the warden money, big money, maybe $2,000 or $3,000 a week. So he had decided that A. Light, the cocky mafioso from New York, would be punished. In a few hours, three or four guards and inmate trustees, prisoners loyal to the warden who served as his enforcers, would be coming for him. A prison guard who was in A. Light's camp, who was a friend of both A. Light and the leaders of the Comando Vermelho, had tipped him off. He knew what was coming, but there wasn't much he or his friends in the Red Command, a prominent Brazilian criminal organization that had power both on the streets and in the prisons, could do about it. The knife was his only option. The guards and trustees would take him to a special cell in the bowels of the prison and deal with him. It happened all the time to inmates who had fallen out of favor. At the very least, A. Light figured he was in for a severe beating. There was, he knew, a real chance that he could be killed. He had thought his notoriety as an American prisoner, and a mafioso at that, would offer him some protection. But he may have miscalculated. If he died in this rat's nest of a prison, the official explanation would exonerate the authorities. A knife fight among inmates, a dispute over contraband drugs, an accident. There were dozens of ways to explain the death. Who would really know? Or care? Back in the States, the feds were continuing to target Junior Gotti and those around him. Had A-Light, Gotti's one-time enforcer and business partner, not gone on the run, he would have been sitting in an American prison. Instead, as he had done for most of his life, he had chosen to fight on his own terms, in his own way. That's what led him to Brazil, and to the prison cell where he now sat waiting. Ari Franco had a reputation as the worst of the worst. Several years later, in 2011, a special United Nations investigation into prison problems in Brazil recommended that the prison be closed, and its estimated 1,500 inmates relocated. When the findings of the UN panel were made public, stories of systemic corruption, filthy, bug-infested cells, cases of torture and abuse, wanton violence, and inmate murders, Brazil's justice minister, José Eduardo Cardoso, had this to say. If I had to spend many years in one of our prisons, I would rather die. A. Light was long gone by the time that report was issued, but he didn't need a UN panel to tell him how bad things were. He had experienced it all firsthand. As he waited that day for the guards to come for him, he knew that death was an option. It's almost impossible to describe the disconnect he was experiencing. He was an American mobster, arrested on an Interpol warrant, after spending more than a year bouncing from the United States to Europe to Africa and then Central and South America. Along the way, he had made three stops in Cuba. In retrospect, A. Light thought as he tried to get comfortable with the foreign object stuck in his ass, he probably should have stayed in Havana. Interpol had no connections there, and the chance of being extradited was minimal. He had enough money and enough Cuban friends to make his life secure. Instead, he had chosen Brazil. Not a bad choice when you think about it. He lived in a neighborhood in the Copacabana section of Rio, had developed friendships, taught boxing at a local gym, and had a girlfriend who was everything any guy thought about when he fantasized about the sensual, passionate, and beautiful women of that country. But he had stayed too long. He knew it. He sensed it in the days leading up to his arrest,